not really professional. So I think that it is a good opportunity for the young generation can study more about this field. And this class is important not only for students who are bilingual, but also for the other students, because in the future they may have seen and communicate and work with people who need to use interpreter for communicating. So it is a good experience for many people. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. I agree. That was... I've always wondered how people who do the simultaneous translation can do it. It's such a skill. I'm wondering, what are you going to do after you graduate from high school?
I will be going to Portland State University to study accounting while developing my interpreting skill, because I also need the skill to help the community.
Fabulous. I'm glad to hear you're staying in Portland. Well done.
Thank you.
I appreciate hearing about this program. I served on the District Parent Involvement Committee several years ago, and a big focus of ours was outreach to families for whom English was not their native language. And as we know, we struggle to serve those students and to include their families. And I always found it really perplexing, because we have these foreign language immersion schools, which are wildly successful, and I just couldn't understand why we couldn't kind of reverse that or utilize the resources. So I love that you called that a resource, because it really is, and what a great way to tap into it.
Council, hi, I'm David Abrahamson. I'm a sergeant at Traffic Division. I oversee the crash team. Let's see if we can get this up there where people can see it. Approximately 2.5-3 years ago, we started to see a significant increase of crashes out in East Portland, where the non-English speaking community and new immigrants were overrepresented. And through doing some inquiry and investigation, we soon found out that there was absolutely no driver training available besides English available to anybody. If you're under 18, Oregon subsidy will qualify for you, but classes are in English. As far as material, there is not any driver education manual in print besides English and besides Spanish. So immigrants are coming in with their own context from their own cultures, the majority of them not driving. I think 95% of our students through this program of the women have never even sat in the driver's seat of a vehicle before. But again, we saw that the underserved communities here have also been overrepresented in the last 3 years to 6 years in our fatal crashes. We've seen that increase significantly. Approximately 15% of all our hit-and-run suspects in Portland are new immigrant refugees and new Portlanders. That's what IRNP stand for. In Multnomah County, in 2013, that just gives you a snapshot, over 8,100 requests for interpretive services were here at Multnomah County at the courthouse. The majority of those are for traffic-related offenses. And this is from the OJD. The 2012 U.S. Census, 14% to 24% in Portland Metro actively speak a foreign language on a daily basis in their home. And at that time, as of 17%, were foreign-born. That's gone up to nearly 20% now. Nearly a quarter of our 20% of our populace is foreign-born.
So then the 15% is about what you would expect on the previous slide.
That's just from, and again, Oregon, without getting a lot of details, Oregon Crash Report, you cannot track or trap ethnicity. So this is what we're seeing as far as hit-and-run suspects. As far as victims, we're seeing an overpopulation of that. About 30% of victims are not equipped to safely operate or maneuver, whether it's driving a vehicle or if it's a vulnerable road user on a bike or pedestrian. So about 30% victims. And again, due to transportation needs, it's not feasible a lot of times for immigrants coming in to use mass transit to seek their occupations and a livelihood. So we approached East Portland Action Plan. And again, I cannot say enough. In the last 2 years of obtaining grants, both years, I have been so impressed. I grew up there in East County at David Douglas. I lived there in East County until 2 years ago. And to see the proactive investment of the community, I have been impressed. I truly have been. So EPAP graciously granted us with funds for the first class last year. And we had about 170 students last year from 24 different countries, 23 languages, come in and receive hands-on driver education training, 2 full days of hands-on driver education at our training facility, and 2 full days of classroom training with Portland police officers from the traffic division, from Oregon Driver Education Center driving instructors, from Oregon Impact with impairment panels. We brought in Oregon Department of Transportation, also Portland Bureau of Transportation. Sharon White has been exceptional to work with. So we've tried to leverage resources, and also here in our minority communities, Laura Wintergreen has introduced me probably to 20 different heads of communities that I've had the privilege to meet with, and we've drawn them in and built relationships, and this has been phenomenal. This really has been a process where we have 7 different rotations of hands-on driver training. It takes place, again, at the training facility on 10 acres. Oregon Driver Education Center brings in 10 instructors each weekend. We get to partake in that to really break down the pretense of the uniform. And they are taught how to park, how to every single kind of concept you can think of in driver education as far as keeping their eyes up, the fundamentals, vision, the concepts. And to see them come in nervous and to walk away empowered has been such a gift. At least 80% of all of our students are women. If you talk about equipping the public and you're talking about being a sanctuary city and providing equity across the board, this has been an amazing opportunity investment.
Was that just because more women applied?
No.
Or was there a special outreach effort?
Well, obviously in different cultures, it's not the norm for them to even have that privilege to drive. And even from this program, we found out there's a lot of other resources we've been able to introduce where domestic violence actually increases when they come here. If they're a victim overseas, the abuse increases here. So for them to learn skills to be able to drive is also needed for them and their families. Again, this has broken down barriers between the police and the community. We have about 70 students every month that go through this program. The need is huge. We have about 8,000 students over the age of 18 that attend ESL programs either at PCC in East County or Mount Hood Community College. And the demand is overwhelming right now. We truly need to have permanent funding for this course or it'll die on the vine. This is our second and last year to be provided funding. We also, from this last year, qualified for a micro grant through the City of Portland. We've used that to leverage other resources. We have 19 languages that Portland police officers speak. We've translated into 7 languages, our diversion classes into 7 languages now. We are working with Portland State's flagship program through the Russian department to translate the DMV manual because we have 180,000 Russian-speaking citizens here within the Portland metropolitan area. So we're using funds and resources and these relationships that that have been created through this program to really try to advocate on the behalf of those that are underserved.
How much does it cost per year?
It costs, frankly, to do this right. Right now we've been seeking out grants and have been putting the bandages together about $55,000 to $70,000 if we're going to put on 3 to 4 classes a year. But the demand is huge. It just is. And, I can get into further discussion that we've had with Oregon Department of Transportation and Department of Motor Vehicles outside this venue some other time. But the need is there, and I believe that it will fall on our shoulders. So the hope from this—
You are getting some funding from the East Portland Action Grants?
We have. However, and I'll get into that, permanent funding really needs to come from the city. It needs to be earmarked every single year outside East Portland Action Plan. We use some of the funds from MicroGrant to actually broaden the scope outside the East community this last year. And we probably have 1,000 students that want to take this class right now. We just don't have resources. So again, our hope is that a ripple effect will occur within these communities, that the training that takes place at these classes, that it will be taken back to their families and the communities, and that they'll be equipped to safely operate on our roadway system. With that said, I would ask one last thing. Again, as a sanctuary city, I would ask that permanent funding be allotted and slated for this program. It is needed. I can provide you currently with a list of immigrants within the last 5 years who have died in fatal crashes here on our Portland streets, and the majority in East Portland. These victims no longer have a voice. I'm asking you to specifically speak on their behalf and on their community's behalf and provide funding for this so they can be equipped. Lastly, without providing funding for this, and equitable resources to the underserved communities, how can we expect to realistically obtain and embrace Vision Zero objectives here in our community? To educate, to empower, to equip, to break down barriers of police, to reduce significant crashes, and ultimately save lives. Without this being funded, I don't see how we obtain that. And again, I want to thank East Portland Action Plan. Thank each of you. It's been a privilege. Thanks. And lastly, I would like to invite each of you to this May class. Come see what we're doing, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, Sergeant, have you ever talked with the Vision Zero implementation team about funding this through Vision Zero funding? Or
Funding was not available when we started this. Even before I went over to the crash team 3 years ago when I was a sergeant at East and I saw the increase in crashes, I went to ODOT and applied for a grant. There was no funding. It wasn't until I went to the crash team, engaged in relationships, and was pointed in the direction of Laura Wintergreen that I even obtained funding, and funding is obtained outside of government, frankly. Okay. This is an interesting topic.
So. Yeah, I will pledge to take a look at this and see if we can fund it through our Vision Zero implementation monies.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Commissioners, it's my honor to introduce the next two members of our EPAP team, Joanne Hardesty and Dale Bastola.
Good afternoon. For the record, I am Joanne Hardesty, and I have the pleasure of serving as the co-chair of the Grant Committee for East Portland Action Plan. I am here to discuss with you the Grants Committee and the process that the Grant Committee uses to make its funding decisions. Before I go there, I just want to say first, reiterate why the East Portland Action Plan even exists. It exists because those of us who live east of 82nd got tired of not being considered when the city was making budget decisions. And we as a community, we've got community members, we've got government, we've got nonprofits, all coming together monthly to talk collectively about how we can improve the lives of community members who live in East Portland. I know Commissioner Fritz has visited us a few times. Others have come once or twice. We meet every month, and all of you are invited because what you see is democracy at work. What you see are community members who didn't wait for government to come in and start fixing the problems that we had. What you see is a community that came together and collectively developed a shared governance structure, and with support of Mayor Sam Adams and Commissioner Amanda Fritz since then, and since then the entire City Council, what you see are dedicated community members who are willing to volunteer their time to make the community better. And so, let me tell you about the Grants Committee. The Grants Committee is made up of volunteers who are not applying for grant money, who come together and read anywhere between 25 and 50 proposals each grant cycle, and then we score them. And then as a committee, we come together and we decide what our priorities are based on the priority list that we have already agreed to as the EPAP committee. And then we prioritize what we're going to fund. And then we have to debate because, as you can imagine, with 12 people making a decision about funding, there are 12 different opinions about what we should fund with limited funding. And so we appreciate the fact that the city has allowed us to use a participatory budgeting model to actually prioritize the desires of the community in East Portland. So for example, we used to have two grant cycles. We had a civic engagement grant, and then we had a general grant. The civic engagement grant was very specifically around culturally specific programming to ensure that we were engaging people who either English isn't their first language or there are other barriers to them engaging with their government. These are not multicultural projects. These are projects that are culturally specific to specific communities. In addition, they are either racially or ethnically specific, which means language interpretation and other resources are used to support the civic engagement grants. And I have the privilege of sitting here with one of our 2016 grant recipients that will tell you a bit about that project. Then I will come back and tell you what grants we are proposing to fund for 2017.
All right, thanks, John, Annie. So, hi, my name is Deo. I'm from the Bhutanese Community Organization. And so we are running the ESL and Citizenship class every Sunday in the Midway Alliance at Division Street. And so in the beginning, we have 32 students, and out of 32 students, we have two students still there sitting in the back right now holding the sign. So even I use the sign language for them, and so they are able to have hold their U.S. citizenship. So out of 32 students, only 19 students so far, they got a citizenship because of ESL. So in the beginning, we divided the classes between two groups, A plus and B. The A plus means those who are able to make a few sentences or few words, for example, like a cat, dog, bag, etc. But the B groups, they are not able to know what is uppercase and lowercase. So we struggle really, really hard for them to knowing which one is uppercase and the lowercase. We have students between the ages from 27 to 80 years old. And so 80 years old is my dad, who be a U.S. citizen 3 months ago right now. He's sitting in the back.
Yes.
And so he is really, really proud to be the U.S. citizen because of ESL. So it is not only the one, there are some other students, you know, who are the ages of 74, 72, and 68, they already be the U.S. citizens because of ESL. So we are running the class every Sunday for 2 hours. The first 1 hour is for ESL and the second hour is for citizenship. So in the beginning, it's very, very hard for me and our teachers and everybody else. We have to hold their hands, just support in the elbow and to write their alphabet. It's very hard. The hands are sick because of age factors or because some not problems. So even then, we are finally succeed to get a U.S. citizenship for 19 students out of 32. Still, we are working with that one because we want get to reach our 100%. Still, we are working with that one. So ESL is really, really important for all the immigrants, not only for the Bhutanese community, not only for the Korean community, not only for the Burmese community. The immigration is really, really, our citizen ESL is important for all the immigration in the worldwide. So English is our second language. We have a barrier, we have a conflict whenever we stop in the store, whenever we stop in the, like in the school or office or in the medical field or in the medical appointments. So we have a translators. So I'm doing that job too, side by side as a translator since from a couple of years ago after I complete my CNA. And so, but I guess without ESL, there's no life for all the immigrants. So starting point is the ESL. And so after ESL, they are able to get a citizens. So citizen is really important for all the immigration because I'm a refugee. We all are refugees from those who are immigrants. So I've been here for U.S. 9 years. So I got a U.S. citizen already like 3 years back. But before that one, I can find a better job. They asked me, are you a U.S. citizen or not? I said, no. So it takes me a while too. I have to wait for my time to get a U.S. citizen. So after I be a U.S. citizen, I hold a nursing license too. and I have a better job now. And I feel that ESL and the citizenship is really important for all the immigrants. It helps to respect, be politeness, honest, faithful. So I want, or we want our budget to be continued for the next year to run ESL and the citizenship. So I would like to pass to Joe Annie.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I just,
thank you. That's a fabulous presentation. I just have to note one of the signs there that says, now I have a, because of ESL, now I have a job, yeah, and I paid taxes.
Yes.
Because I remember the first year that I was employed here and I paid taxes. It was such a thrill to fill out the form.
So those, all the signs, they wrote by themselves.
Because fabulous.
In the beginning, they don't know what is alphabet.
Right.
So we teach them. So some of them, they know how to make a couple of words.
Right.
So that's why we divided two classes.
Yeah.
So they are, that's all their job. That's
fabulous.
Not mine.
Can
I,
thank you so
can
much.
Can
I
add one thing and thank you both for your testimony?
Sure, please. You're welcome.
Joanne Hardesty brought us back to the history, and it's important we go back to our history.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to acknowledge a few other people that I think deserve to be recognized. One is Vice President Jeff Merkley. I mean, Senator Jeff Merkley. Because it was, it
yes.
was in fact, Senator Merkley. Then, I believe, House Speaker Merkley,
mm-hmm.
who was part of the convening committee along with Tom Potter, who was a mayor who walked the talk on this. So I want to acknowledge Mayor Potter and Jeff Merkley, who lives in East Portland. I also want to acknowledge that it was one of the proudest votes that Dan and Amanda and I have cast was the establishment of EPAP in 2009. And then thanks to the advocacy of the people in this room, our ability to convert the funding to ongoing funding. And that's important history. And also, I'll beat Amanda to the punch, Commissioner Leonard was very passionate about this enterprise and fought for it while he served. So there were a lot of folks, particularly from East Portland, and including people here in Neighbors who fought for this. It has stable funding, and we hear you loud and clear about the fact that you've changed the debate is evidenced today because you're here positively advocating for changes to the budget and changes to the policy. And I'm old enough to remember, Linda, when the conversation was not that way. It's created a structure and a framework for us as colleagues and as neighbors and friends to have these discussions. And I am extremely grateful for this process. So thank you.
Madam President. I have to excuse myself. I have the fire chief waiting to meet with me. So I just want to say it's been a great report, fully supportive of the grants and everything you're doing. So good work.
Thank you, Commissioner. Madam President, it's so wonderful to say that, Madam President. And Commissioner Fish, I just want to say thank you for the remembrance of that history. We see ourselves as partners, so we don't see ourselves as weaklings coming to City Hall begging for crumbs. We see ourselves as powerful community members who know what our community needs, and we're coming here to say, okay, time for you to step up. So thank you for that.
That's a really important point because a lot of the journalists still want to write about, oh, poor East Portland, who
yes.
never gets it to the table.
Right.
And I always tell them, go to visit the East Portland Action Plan and
yes.
look at what they've accomplished.
I would encourage anyone who really wants to know how to engage the community to come to an EPAP meeting because you will notice several things happen at every EPAP meeting. Food is served. Child care is provided. Translation is provided, and every voice is heard. It's a great model for anyone who wants to do governance.
You know, and as valuable as it is for us to go to those meetings, what I have been impressed with is the ability of people in this room to come to City Hall and lobby city commissioners around the things they care about. And many of the wins that are being documented today are a result of that advocacy and, frankly, relationships that have been built through this process.
Yes.
And I think that's a powerful lesson.
Thank you. And so I have only a couple of more things to say. So I told you about the Civic Engagement Grant. I told you we used to have a general grant. But the EPAP members decided last year that we would combine our grants. A, because we were killing our staff person who was making lots of copies, preparing us to be able to conduct these two grants once every 6 months. And what I think is remarkable is as a committee, to every person. We voted not only would we combine the grants into one, but we would prioritize making sure that civic engagement, engaging communities that English isn't their first language, New Portlanders, immigrants, refugees, people of color, that we would prioritize them in our one grant cycle per year. We were very clear. We wanted to make sure that everyone around the table understood what we were prioritizing. And I am pleased to say that we had unanimous support for making this change. It shows the quality of the people we're working with in East Portland. And so I didn't want to take too much more time, but I do want to let you know what grants we are asking you to affirm this year for the 2017 civic engagement. Someone mentioned earlier that every grant is leveraged. It is either leveraged with people power or is leveraged with additional financial resources. And so I will quickly go through this list. It is Exhibit A in your packet. And as you can see, we are recommending funding for East African Literacy and Education Project. We will be funding them at $9,450, and they were able to leverage an additional $5,766. Weatherization led prevention workshop for Russian speaking communities. They will be funded at $7,623 and were able to leverage another $15,500. We are Slavic people. It is our culture. They were funded at $13,828 and are able to leverage an additional $70,500. New Americans Initiative, East Portland, they will receive $6,000 and were able to double that to $12,050. Needs assessment of underserved older adults. They asked for $5,720 of funding and were able to leverage another $2,500 to make that project happen this year. In addition, Healthy Families, Families Saludable, I can't say that, I'm not a Spanish speaker, so help me people, will be funded at $14,000, and they were able to leverage an additional $40,400. Peer Court and Family Empowerment Project will be awarded $12,535 and were able to leverage an additional $19,485. And last but certainly not least, Jim Pepperfest, the fifth annual Jim Pepperfest Native Arts Festival was funded at $4,840 and were able to leverage an additional $26,620. That is our list of recommended grants for our civic engagement for 2017. Impressive list.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes.
We have more speakers coming. Sorry. I was just so thrilled. Let me see what you have there. I lost mine.
Okay. Laura, can I just ask you a time frame? I got to actually go to the Rose CDC event to raise money for them. So what? How many more speakers?
Just three more in less than 10, 15 minutes max.
Okay.
I'm sure we could shorten it because we certainly don't want to lose a quorum.
Well, there's going to be no drama about the vote, too. So
no drama.
We do want,
we like
we do,
that.
We do want to hear. But
okay, yeah. So we're going to move very.
Actually, we've asked a lot of questions, so it's on us. I just don't want you to lose a quorum.
No. Yes. It's the next three will come up while I'm introducing you. And we will have Jamal Dar, Sarah Hersey, and Shelley Stratton. Thank you very much.
It's actually Jamal or them.
So Jamal.
And Tim Harvey.
Great.
My bad. Thank you.
Commissioners, thank you for your tireless and patient work. It is not easy to sit in front of so many people all day and listening to all of us whining. But I think it is a part of the deal. It's a part of the job that you sign it. And I think you guys are doing a great job, and I appreciate that.
Sir, can I just say that it is a pleasure to have you in the audience. We've had some visitors recently that weren't perhaps as constructive in the way they engaged us, so I thank you for modeling great behavior in a public forum.
Thank you. Again, my name is Jamal Daar. I am representing an African youth and community organization. I just want to recognize Commissioner Amanda. She when she was elected to come into our first fundraising in 2011 at Jackson Middle School, and thank you for that. Since 2009, this organization has been a champion to help immigrant to refugees generation, especially in the East African population. We have started by developing youth mentorship program through Portland metro area, and we now have over 648 kids in our program. We receive and we will be willing to utilize that funding from EPAP. EPAP are the bridge between the city, between the government, between the state, and the community that we represent. So I would definitely advise you to keep that connection, and I would not be here today without the EPAP. So that is how important they are, and we want to keep them forever. The literacy and educational project is for not only for the youth, but also parents. We did, in January of 2015, we sponsored Somali leaders, over 45 members of our community, to understand and bridge the gap of lack of education, especially the graduation rate in the Somali community was 58%, out of 7% were passing math and science. So from that, the community formed a task force, and that was specifically for Somali community. The task force then implemented a plan where not only necessary we help for the youth, but also to close that gap between the children who were accepting this different society, different culture, different behavior, and those parents who do not speak English. And doing that, it kind of benefits both aisles. So the two parents and the children can understand one another. So with that, we increase the education rate tremendously for like at least 10% more within 6 months. And because of this funding, we were able to also reach people with disability programs and I definitely appreciate Madam President. Part of the new Portlanders commissioners a couple of Saturdays ago, and I definitely felt that it is important not only for the leaders of our society, you, but also in our community to help individuals who are disabled. The Somali populations have come with two packages. One is ignorance. Second is the civil war and issues. And on top of that, those individuals who are coming into the United States have at least one or two members in disability, intellectually or delayed members or physical disability. That is why we were very important for us to engage and educate those individuals and not only the community that we represent, but also into society and help them to get a job. So I want to thank you, everything that you guys do, and I appreciate all the hard work that EPAP did. So thank you.
Good evening. My name is Natalia Sabalevskaya. I'm bilingual and bicultural in English and Russian. Since I came to Portland in 2000, I have working for nonprofits. Now I'm with Community Energy Project. Thank you for the opportunity to receive the EPOP Civic Engagement Grant visualization and lead prevention workshops for Russian-speaking communities. I have a great deal of experience working as a liaison to the Russian-speaking community. I have been an active member of EPOP since its beginning, was a 2012-2013 winner of VR Portland Award. I am a 2009 graduate of pilot program in leadership for the Center of Intercultural Organizing. I co-founded the Russian Speaking Network. I started the crime prevention workshop program with a grant from EPAP, working with teens and parents to prevent and reduce crime within the Slavic community. I am a member of the New Portland Policy Commission. Also, I teach Russian to children at my church. With all my experience and passion to reach out to Russian-speaking community members, I will serve as a primary person for this grant project. I know there is a great need for Community Energy Project services in the Russian community. especially low-income homeowners in East Portland. Working with a community educator, I will ensure all participants receive visualization or lead workshops in Russian, and the instruction will be culturally specific. As a result of the workshops, the participant will be empowered to make their homes more energy efficient, save and comfortable, and even save money on their monthly energy bills. Participants will learn about lead poisoning prevention and ways to safely deal with lead. I will introduce participants to EPOP and its programs and committees to encourage them to become involved in its subcommittees. The grant project will address EPOP's strategy plan of improving the appearance, quality, and safety on their homes and expanding the numbers of households taking advantage of home repair assistance programs like CEPs in East Portland. Community Energy Project is highly aware of barriers to reaching historically underserved groups such new immigrant population and other people of color. These groups often experience language barriers and can be distrustful of government and government-affiliated agencies. CEP served less than 1% of the Slavic community in 2015 and 16. However, it's striving to reach more. This grant will help tremendously in our efforts. CEP's visualization workshop programs target vulnerable and underserved Portland populations, low-income families, minorities, and other historically marginalized groups. About 70% of CEP clients are extremely low-income, living on less than 30% of the median family income, $20,000 annually for a family of four. Community Energy Project will offer the five workshops dedicated specifically to Russian-speaking communities living within the EPOP area. Russian-speaking communities include immigrants not just from Russia, but from Ukraine, Belarus, Armenia, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Moldova, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and other former Soviet republics and regions with their own culture and languages. Up to 15 participants will be able to attend each class, totaling 75 participants, each receiving culturally specific hands-on education about visualization and lead prevention. Classes teach to multiple learning styles and are very interactive with hands-on demonstrations. We encourage participants to ask questions and make sure what is being presented is understood. Community Energy Project has offered its services to the Portland community for nearly 4 years. Now working with more than 20 partners to bring the workshops to the EPOP area, including East Portland Community Center, Hazelwood Neighborhood Association, Gateway, Head Start, and Lincoln Elementary. Thank you for funding EPOP Civic Engagement Grants, and we ask the Council to continue to support them. These grants allow many immigrant, low-income community members the opportunity to receive assistance with their basic needs. Спасибо за ваше время.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Kim Harvey Trigoso. I am with Northwest Family Services. We are a nonprofit organization serving the Portland metro area. We've been doing this for over 30 years. And our mission is to equip people with vital skills for a lifetime in support of child well-being and family stability. And we're very excited to propose the Peer Court and Family Empowerment Workshops, and those will be in Spanish. We are partnering with David Douglas High School, and the project will serve students and parents and families in East Portland and those in David Douglas. We're going to have a focus on the Latino community, and the Peer Corps program addresses a strategy L2 of the EPAP, which is to increase availability of youth-focused programs, as well as EPAP action item L3.2, develop connections between high school students and higher education and workforce development. Peer Corps is an educative and restorative justice program that engages high school students to gain experience in law and criminal justice professions and public speaking skills, and provides a valuable service to the community by holding peers with first-time misdemeanor offenses accountable without involvement in the juvenile justice system. The Family Empowerment Workshops address EPAP Strategy L4, which is to increase the academic success of East Portland K-12 students, and Strategy L7, increase parental involvement in and access to public K-12 schools. Family Empowerment is a two-hour multifamily workshop that can serve as a launching point for parents and teens to develop understanding and empathy for one another's experiences. Parents and teens gain a greater knowledge about the developing teen brain, how to support their teen during this time of growth and change, the negative effects of drugs and alcohol, and the long-term effects of truancy. Parents and their teens practice communication skills and create a sense of shared values. Why fund this project? PeerCorps provides an important skills for college and workforce development, like public speaking skills, increased confidence, professionalism, experience in criminal justice field, and leadership opportunities that can stimulate interest in higher education. Family Empowerment promotes family communication, prevention education on drugs and alcohol, and adolescent development, and parent involvement in school, which can lead to improved academic success of students. Our deliverables are to recruit 25 to 30 East Portland high school students, and in particular Latino students, who will be recruited and trained to become peer attorneys, jurors, and bailiffs in our teen court hearings. So the trainings will happen at David Douglas High School, and the court hearings happen at the East County Courthouse. So they look very real. they're simulated court trials, but we make it seem as close to what a court setting would look like. And the students will receive training from licensed attorneys and judges, and they get a five-hour training a year with additional coaching throughout the year. We will have up to 30 peer attorneys who will put their training into practice, and will do monthly training during the academic year, and will participate in peer court hearings. For family empowerment, we will recruit up to 75 Latino youth and parents who will attend the family empowerment workshops to be held in Spanish at David Douglas High School, and those workshops will be offered monthly during the school year. Latino parents will also be recruited to help co-facilitate and co-lead small group discussions during the workshops, as well as to help with additional follow-up training opportunities for parents, parent skill trainings for parents who have students with attendance issues. This project would involve a lot of participating and working together with parents and students. For PeerCorps, we utilize students to reach out to other students, and also our youth attorneys who are more experienced get to train those younger students who are starting in the program, and it's a really great mentoring experience. And for parents, that would also be co-facilitating with us some of those workshops. That's it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have one more speaker, Mustafa Finney.
I suggest maybe you want to make the decision, because Mr. Fish has to leave, and then Mustafa can close.
Well, does that mean Mustafa can say whatever he wants after we're done and we have to do it?
Yeah. The mic is yours, and the clock is off.
It's been a long day. Should we
move to adopt the report or accept the report?
Second.
Okay. Carla, please take the roll.
Fish. Well, I want to thank everybody for another outstanding report. And there were some things in the report that, frankly, troubled me greatly. And the trend line on affordable housing investments in East Portland, I'd like to go back and look at those numbers. That concerns me. I don't have a good answer as to why we don't do mapping anymore at budget time. And we have
actually
a citizen budget member here.
We actually do.
Huh?
We do. I was going to cover that, but
well, let me put it this way. I don't have a good answer why we don't have a discussion about the maps and the stuff, because it's not part of any presentation, and therefore there's no community dialogue. And I thought we were making progress in thinking about how to do mapping. It still is an imperfect science. And I'm an example because I lead the public utilities. And we had a stretch where we were working in two buttes and in Mount Tabor. So the numbers were very skewed in terms of the eastern part of our city. Now our focus is Willamette River Crossing and the reservoirs in Washington Park. It still benefits the whole city, but our capital spending will look fundamentally different. And it's not because we're being oblivious to an equity lens. It's the sequence of doing major capital work. Nonetheless, and I'll defer to my colleague and friend, Commissioner Fritz, on this, I thought that mapping was an interesting exercise. I thought putting them on the table was an interesting exercise. I also have heard some strong arguments for continued investments in things which I think we ought to invest in. And I want to go back just in closing to something someone said. In 2004, when I first had conversations with people in East Portland, what I often heard was, no one cares what we think in City Hall. And for small businesses, I heard, we're moving to Clackamas. Today, it's a partnership. And I think in terms of a community planning exercise, EPAP has done more to create not just a space for these conversations, but a deepening of relationships. And I know we have a lot of catching up, but I don't want the historical deficit to obscure the progress we are making on a whole host of fronts. And it's because of relationships, and it's because of a framework. And I think EPAP has had a lot to do with it. When I say EPAP, I mean the citizen volunteers who have given their time to making this thing come alive. So I'm very proud of this. And I think, Commissioner Fritz, as I look back to the votes you and I have cast as we have had overlapping service, this would have to be one of the handful I'm most proud of, helping to launch it, helping to fund it, and helping to put that funding out of harm's way. So thank you for your continued work educating us. I've taken copious notes, as of my colleagues, about things where we're still falling short. It's a work in progress, but I'm very pleased today to accept your report with my thanks. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, everybody who was here. Yeah, the budget mapping is institutionalized in that the budget office does it, and it's up on their website. In fact, I just, during the presentation, looked up City of Portland budget mapping, and indeed it gets right to it. As Commissioner Fish pointed out, the problem is that we haven't had a discussion about it. So that part we need, potentially Mayor Wheeler was not aware of it because he plans the budget hearings and budget work sessions. So agreed, and as Commissioner Fish said earlier, that one's on us. I also want to add to Commissioner Fish's list of people to credit with support. And one would be Charlie Hales, Mayor Hales, who was the one who said at the beginning of his term, EPAP, tell us how you're going to go out. What's your plan for a glide to not existing anymore? And over time came to understand that not only is that not happening, but there's a need for ongoing funding, and made that happen. And that, again, was due to the community doing the work and making it very clear to Mayor Hills that this is what you get, and this is why it needs to continue to operate. It was unfortunate that in the auditor's audit of the neighborhood services that she didn't look at the East Portland Action Plan as part of the work that is being supported through partnerships. And I think that's, for me, one of the most exciting things that I've seen over the 8 years that I've been on the council, is so many increasing back and forth with the East Portland Neighbourhood Office, the EPAP, and really working together, and the best of each coming to help the others. So I'm really happy about that. There's a piece that you didn't bring up this year, but you did last year, and that was about coordination between the bureaus and coordination between council offices. And the request last year had been, let's have a person within City Hall or within the, here, who would be responsible for tracking all of the EPAP action asks and whether they were done or not. And at the time, I said, it would be better to coordinate between the council offices, and offered to do that. My bureau assignment was a heavy load over the last year. And so now that I have an assignment that has more capacity for myself and my staff, I will put that on my to-do list to figure out how can we do that better so that it's not all on you to do the reporting. So again, it's more of a partnership. As Commissioner Fish said, I've also made copious notes about things that I'm going to follow up and get back to you on. And I'm just very, very grateful for all the work that's going on in the community that we are partnering. Thank you. Aye.
You, Daly?
Well, thank you, everyone, for your hard work on this presentation. And I have candy bars for those of you who made it to the very end. that wasn't planned. I think my staff is trying to kill me with candy. You're doing incredibly vital work in East Portland. I have been to a couple EPAP meetings, and I tell this story often. When I received the agenda in advance for my first EPAP meeting, I just thought, oh, Lord, you know, how many days is this going to take? And I was so impressed with how the meeting was run and how just how efficient and organized everyone was, and it was a great experience. Laura, I would love to follow up with you on the accommodations piece. I'm particularly interested in that, as well as seeing if we could find some more funding for those civic engagement grants as we, you know, in the future, because as Joanne illustrated, the grantees are leveraging an incredible amount of community resources and really making the most of those grants. And I also obviously have a particular interest in your housing issues as well as achieving some of those Vision Zero goals out in East Portland because of recent tragic events. I'm done now.
So I apologize,
aye.
Madam President, that I have to go. It doesn't preclude taking testimony. We just can't act. And had we had another member, there probably would have been a motion to slap an emergency clause on the next item, but we don't have it. But I don't think there's any drama on supporting the recommendations for the grant. So thank you very much.
We could add one next week.
Yeah.
So at least it'd be good. So just a week instead of 30 days.
We'll be accepting it after Mustafa? Or
we
accept
just
it now?
That's
okay.
Done.
It's accepted.
All right.
Thank you for your patience, and I'm very interested to hear what you have to say.
I had a longer presentation, but with time, I'm going to cut it short. My name is Mustafa Finney, and I am the new co-chair of EPAP. Well, I had written that, honestly, I would love to hear what you all thought about EPAP, but you gave me a nice piece of your mind, so I can cut that piece out. You know, I sit on a lot of different committees and meeting circles, and some groups, as you know, you kind of sit there and wish you were somewhere else because you know that after all the talking, nothing is going to happen. In this essence, just meeting to meet. This group was not like that. These fine older folks were able to sway my young spirit and bring me on board because I felt moved, I felt motivated, and I felt hope. I saw a group of passionates gathered into a group, a force to be reckoned with. And we should be thankful for groups like EPAP, of whom, when we lose sight of what's important and forget the faces of those who are still at the bottom, they are here to remind us. You know, they're here to bring those small voices to the forefront and empower them to make change as well. All of these efforts, all of these groups, all of these committees that you've heard today, working and engaging in East Portland in a way that is slowly and steadily changing the minds and actions of those it touches, changing the behavior of the communities enveloped in its embrace, advocating for the quiet voices not heard over the roar of popular anthropology. You've seen us and what we can do, and now it's your turn. We need you and the positions that you hold to fight for these people, these families, and these communities that depend on you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a lovely way to finish. Thank you.
Yes.
It's somewhat appropriate that the community has the last word, right, Madam
yes.
President?
And congratulations on your new co-chair position.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Our meeting is adjourned.
that's one of my favorites of the year.